All right. Open your Bibles with me. Your bubbles. I don't know where that came from. I could have said Bibles, but I guess I just went the other direction, didn't I? Open your Bibles to Psalm 119. 119:89, would you? Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord." Everybody say forever.
Forever.
"Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to Thine ordinances, for all are Thy servants." Who is all Thy servants? Every generation. Every generation. So what I want to bring out of this scripture is just what it says. That God's word is forever settled in heaven, whether you like it or not. Come on. Yeah, whether we like it or not, it's a done deal. And we're not going to change God's word. Now, a lot of folk try to. But you're not going to change God's word. God's word is forever. Matter of fact, Jesus had some things to say about the word. Here's what he said in Luke 21:33. He said this, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Think about it. He says, heaven and earth's going to pass away, but my words, they're not going to pass away. Why? Because they're forever settled in heaven. In Mark 8:38, "Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Notice that. We can't be ashamed of the Word of God. You know, there are folks that kind of act like they're undercover Christians because they're ashamed, you know, to confess their faith out loud. We need to confess our faith. We need to stand and confess what we stand for and not be ashamed. Be unapologetic for what you believe, because if you believe the Word of God, then you're right and whoever else is coming against you is wrong. It's just that simple. Now, here's the good part. God's on your side. And if God be for me, right. God's on your side, okay? John 14:23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Notice that. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my word. Think about that one for a minute. If you love me, you'll keep my word. It kind of makes you start thinking about, well, doesn't the Bible say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but even more so as you see the day approaching, right? Come on. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my words. John 12:48. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." You see, you won't have any excuse when it comes judgment time. Come on, we've got the Word of God. He said that we're going to be judged by this Word. You're not going to be asked, well, how'd you live your life? How'd you do this? You're going to be asked, what did you do with my Word? Did you obey my Word? That's the thing. It's all about the Word. John 15:5. Listen to this. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." See, we got to have God. We got to have the Word of God. We got to have Jesus in our life. Without Jesus in our life, we are nothing. Can I get an amen at least on that? We're children of God. We're believers. We're the born again ones. We're the church. And we ought to be able to agree that without God we can do nothing. Right? Let me tell you what the wisest man that ever lived said in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Here's what Solomon said. He said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You see that? Our duty as mankind is to fear God or reverence God. It doesn't mean to be afraid of God, but reverence Him. Reverence Him, love Him, exalt Him. To magnify something means it make it bigger. So we magnify God and make it bigger. But it says our whole duty is to exalt God, to reverence God, and keep His commandments. That's our whole duty. It don't sound like a lot, but I'm going to tell you something. We fail miserably a lot of times. Amen. We're not keeping the Word the way we should. Now, let me just go ahead and say this, okay? Because we're changing gear just a little bit. But I wanted to first lay a basis and let you understand that the Word has to be first in our life. Matter of fact, everything in this universe exists because of God and His Word. Everything in the universe exists because God spoke His Word. Everything. You exist because of God and His Word. Now, as we change gears just a little bit, I wanted to make sure we establish that because I want you to understand that when this country was formed and our Constitution was written, it was written by men who had a firm conviction of what we just talked about, of God and His Word. Now, not all were Christians. Not all the people were Christians, but here's the thing. They had a reverence or a fear for God. They respected God and His Word so much that as they penned down the words of the Constitution that would run this country, they made sure that it kept a biblical basis. Amen. I know a lot of folks don't like to hear that, but that's the truth. Now, later on, James Madison, who was part of all this, He brought up and he placed the First Amendment, or authored, or was the lead author at least, on the First Amendment to the Constitution. Does anybody know what the First Amendment to the Constitution says? You probably don't. You probably know a form of it. And the form you probably know is separation of church and state. Right? You hear that all the time. Let me read you this First Amendment. Would that be okay? And you say, well, what's this got to do with God? Everything. Because the United States is a Christian country, and I believe this nation is here because God had this nation formed. This nation has sent more evangelists, more missionaries, and evangelized the world more than any other nation in the world. And we're still doing it. When you saw those folks singing from Haiti a few minutes ago, that's now. They're still singing with everything that's going on over there. They're still singing praises to God. Pastor John sent me that little video, and you know what he said? He said, it's good to see that our work wasn't in vain. You know, they're well up in age now, and they're still, they can look back and they see people, places where that was just dry desert. Now there's churches and there's people singing on the outside because they took them the gospel. They got them out of voodoo. Got them out of pagan worship and brought them to Jesus. That's what this country does. So this is the greatest country in the world, and this country was established by God. So here's what the First Amendment to the Constitution says. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, with what I just read you, people say, you know, the Constitution says there's a separation, the separation between church and state. Did you hear that in anywhere? Here's what you heard. Government, you don't have any right in the church's business. That's what this amendment was written for. You see, some people have taken it the other way around, and they interpret it as, you know, the church ain't got no business being in the government. Listen, if the church didn't get involved, this country would have less morals than it's got now. Somebody's got to hold a standard of morality, and it's the church. It's the Christian people. It's those that fear God. Okay? So I just wanted to kind of bring that about to you so that you can see that, you know, because, you know, I hear this all the time, okay? Here's what they say. Well, the church needs to stay out of politics and Christians need to stay out of politics. You hear that a lot. Does anybody know the definition of politics? Well, don't feel bad. I didn't either. I thought, just exactly what is politics? And I was surprised at the answer. Here's the answer from the dictionary of what politics is. It's the activities associated with the governance of a country or other area, especially the debate or conflict among individuals or parties having or hoping to achieve power. That's what politics is over. In other words, politics is basically, it's the debate over who's going to rule. Who's going to have control? That's what it is. Now, does the Bible have anything to say about this? See, because we want to keep it. I'm not being political here. I'm being biblical because as your pastor, it's my duty to give you biblical truths. Okay? And along with that, that means biblical truths of how we to live our lives on this earth. Not just to get saved, but how we live. The Bible is our roadmap to life. And so if we've already established that God's Word's forever settled in heaven, right? And that we're nothing without God. So we better make sure we're doing what God says do. And how God says do it. Right? So here's what the Bible has to say concerning leadership, okay, or ruling. Proverbs 29:2, once again, the wisest man that ever lived, said this. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. See that? I mean, that right there ought to be enough for us to make things start rolling. I don't know about you, but I mourn when I go to the grocery store. I mourn when I fill up my truck. That's all I'm going to say about that. Go with me to Luke chapter 13. I'm trying not to be political, okay? I'm just trying to bring you some biblical truths because Tuesday you're going to go vote for somebody. And you need to know biblical truths. I don't care what anybody's saying out there. I don't care how many rallies they have or what. I don't care because one says one thing, one says another thing. And you know, there's lies on both sides. But you as the church, as God children, children of God, it's up to you to do what your Heavenly Father wants you to do. And that's all I'm here to do today, this morning, was just to bring you some biblical truths so that you're more informed. And, you know, of course, a lot of folks, I know there's early voting and all that kind of thing. And again, that's you do what you want to do. But I'm giving you biblical truths. Okay, Jesus knew the importance of having the right kind of leadership. And, you know, because people will say, well, you know, I mean, you shouldn't be saying things and all that. Let me show you something here. I'm going to give. Can I give it to you from the Amplified Bible? Luke chapter 13, verse 31. It says, at that very hour, some Pharisees came up and said to him, go away from here. For Herod is determined to kill you. And he said to them, Jesus said to them now, go and tell that fox, sly and crafty, skulking and cowardly, behold, I drive out demons and perform healings today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish, complete my course. Nevertheless, I must continue on my way today and tomorrow, and the day after, that for it will never do for a prophet to be destroyed away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who continue to kill the prophets and to stone those who are sent to you, How often I have desired and yearned to gather your children together around me as a hen gathers her young under her wings, but you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, abandoned, left to you destitute of God's help. And I tell you, you will not see me again until the time comes when you shall say, blessed, to be celebrated with praises is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Notice that Jesus called Herod a fox, a sly, sulking, devious person. Jesus knew that the leadership was corrupt. Understand, this is the time when the Jews, they're under bondage to the Roman Empire. And so Herod, he's just doing the bidding for the Romans. But Jesus tells him, he says, listen, you go tell him, I'm right here if he wants me. Here's where I'll be tomorrow and the next day. But I got news for you. It's not going to happen because no prophet is going to be taken out of Jerusalem. See, he trusted in God. But I want you to notice something else here. It's not that the people didn't have a way out. God had sent, according to Jesus, God had sent deliverers to them, prophets to them, people to help them, but they chose not to let them help. Notice that? They chose not to. He said, how often would I have done it? I'd have gathered you together just like a hen. Anybody ever watched any of those hens? You don't see many farms anymore, but I grew up around chickens. And us as little boys, we liked to pester them. We'd run from the old mud because there ain't nothing like a mother hen. I'm telling you, buddy, you got around her biddies and you're liable to get a good pecking. A good flogging, maybe. But one of the most amazing things to me was she could have they could be everywhere, all over the ground, the biddies could be. And she'd make a cluck or two, and those biddies would run under her and just right, and she'd just sit down on them. And you couldn't see a one then. Why? Because she had them covered and protected. And Jesus was saying, how often would I have brought you and gathered you underneath me and protected you? But you wouldn't. You wouldn't take what I was offering. Why? Because they wanted what they wanted. They wanted to choose what they wanted to choose, you see. And so Jesus knew what it was like when to have the leadership. He said, but I've sent you people, but you wouldn't receive them. Amen. That's what he's saying. Now, go over with me to 1 Samuel chapter 8. I want to show you something here. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Let's look at verse 4. 1 Samuel 8 and 4. It said, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said to him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even to this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before the chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in the day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a... look at it. We will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken to their voice, make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, Go ye every man into his city. Now, I wanted to bring that to you because I want you to see something here. God wanted his people to stay under his rule and authority. Now, I'll give you this. Samuel had gotten old, just like the Word of God says. He had appointed his two sons to be judges over the people. Now, his sons were not up to par. Okay? They took bribes. They were doing things that were wrong. Now, here's the thing. You think God didn't know that? What I'm trying to tell you is, the people that God had in charge at that time, now Samuel's still there, but the people that God had in charge weren't perfect. Made a lot of mistakes. But you see, God was still ruling because it was still through His order. Come on now. See, what that tells me is God had other plans for His people. He was just using Samuel's boys right now until he got in order what he wanted to get in order. Okay? But the people, we don't like them. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, Samuel. We want a king. We want somebody else to rule over us and to judge us. And God says, don't worry about it, Samuel. They've not rejected you. They've rejected me from ruling over them. See, we have to be careful that we don't get real excited and start thinking that what we want's right. We have to see what God wants. God says, I'm going to give them what they want. See, here's the thing about God. He'll give you what you want. Now, we've got plenty of warnings here that what we want sometimes ain't right. Okay? He said, you go tell them. They can have it. I'm going to give them what they want. But give them a solemn, or give them a stern. Tell them what's going to happen when they put a king over them. Did you hear what all Samuel told them the king was going to do to them? I mean, basically, your life's over. The king will take everything from you. You'll pay everything to him. Nothing will be yours. And what's yours, you'll pay taxes on. They'll take your kids and put them, make slaves. That's what the king will do. Give us a king like the other nations. You know what they did? They chose the world over God. Even though they heard what would happen to them, they didn't care. It's amazing to me how many people in this country go cast a vote and don't have a clue what they're voting for. They make a choice based on how they feel or how they'll look in front of somebody else. See, one of the problems with the children of Israel is they thought it made them look weak to be a nation without a king. They thought it made them look kind of foolish to say, well, our leader's God. We don't have king, we have a prophet that judges us. But that's not the way the other nations were being operated. So they were like, we want to be just like them. There was a reason they were different. God had called them to be a separate people. not be like the world, to be His chosen people that He ruled and reigned over. But they said, we don't like being like that. We won't be like everybody else. So we have to be careful, church, that we're not trying to be like the world. I'm going to tell you, most things that are popular in the world are off. They're wrong. And if you're trying, somebody's trying to convince you that something's wrong is right, you better be careful about them. You better stay away from them. I saw a little thing today, and it was pretty amazing, I thought, really. And I've seen it happen before, but I really hadn't thought about it a whole lot. But they took a piece of rotten fruit and put it right next to a piece of good fruit. You know what happened? The good fruit started rotting. Why? Because the rot from the bad fruit got over on the good fruit. It matters who you hang with. It matters who you keep yourself around and who you align yourself with. I'll talk about that in just a minute. But I just wanted you to see here, God's will was not for the people to have a king. His will was for them to stay under His rule and reign, under His leadership, who He had through the judges. But the people wanted to have a king, and God gave the people what they wanted. Now, the reason I want to bring that out to you is because there are people that say, you know, it don't matter how you vote. Right here, you see that these people had a choice of how they were going to be governed. God or the world. And God gave them what they wanted. Not what He wanted. God created you with a free will. We were at a Christian concert last night, and they said something, and it kind of bugged me. But you know, I mean, you just have to go with the flow because people haven't been taught, and a lot of people haven't been taught. But one of the things that was said was God's in control. They mentioned the election and said God's in control. We know that God is ultimately in control of everything, but right now He has placed the sons of men in authority on the earth. And He's expecting us to do business for Him. That's why He calls us ambassadors. That even though God's in control, that don't mean that God will, you know, people are saying that don't matter how you vote because God's will is going to be done anyway. Well, was God's will done with His children here? Would not God be a respecter of person if He right now said, oh, no, 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 that's not what I want for you. I won't let you do that. No. It's up to His kids to make the right decisions. It was up to His people to make the right decisions. So you have to understand, church, it does matter who you choose. It does matter. You have to make up your mind, okay? Now, God lets you choose who's in power in your government. Amen. You choose that. That's what your system of voting does. You choose who's in power in your government. So I mean, I just want to remind you, okay, to help you, because there's folks say, well, it really don't matter, you know. And well, then these will be here this long, and then 4 years we'll vote them out, and you give me all this. Let me just remind you that it was government that took prayer out of school. During one of these terms. Okay? It's government that has legalized the killing of babies. Legalized abortion. And it's not done yet. Because the extremists in government, they want abortion to go full term. Matter of fact, one guy said, and I watched it for myself and heard him say it, that even it could go as far as the baby being born and kept comfortable while the mother decided whether or not she wanted it killed or not, or where she wanted to keep it or not. But already born. And now, you know, when you listen to folks that are pro-abortion, they're saying, oh, no, that did not happen. That did. Yes, it did. I saw it. I heard him say it. Now, You know, that's the thing. A lot of folks are trying to tell us that what we've seen them say, they didn't say. So just remember, this is government that did that. They legalized the killing of babies, some even after birth now they're talking about. It's government that legalized homosexual marriage. Come on, I went down to Moorhead when they put the lady in jail for standing up for what she believed in. She was a clerk down there and she said, it's not right to marry homosexuals. It's against God's rules. And so I won't do it. And they put her in jail. So you're looking at me funny. Just a minute. Can I read something to you? Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of ribbon, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble. She had a right not to do that. Now, if that's part of the job, that's something that they would have to discuss how they're going to deal with it. But they didn't have a right to put her in jail to try to make an example of her. Because that's what the devil does. Right? Remember Paul and Silas getting thrown in jail for casting out a devil? Come on, when the devil's exposed, they like to try to lock you up, get rid of you, do something, try to get rid of you. That's why they want to get rid of Christianity now. So it was government that legalized it. It's government that said, you've got to start letting men go into women's bathrooms. We want you to take down your men and women signs and put up signs that says both of them can go in at the same time. Come on now. See, I'm just showing you some things because folks say it don't matter how you vote. But it does matter. Okay? Now I'm giving you biblical things here. Okay? So somebody says he's getting political. No, prayer to God is biblical. Taken out of school, right? Killing babies is against God's rules, right? Thou shalt not shed innocent blood. Biblical, right? Okay. Homosexuality, God says, is an abomination. Biblical, right? Letting men go into women's bathrooms, I'm sure that falls under the same category of an abomination, right? Men trying to be women or identifying as women or... Come on. Remember this. It was government that lied to us about wearing masks during COVID. I know it's not real popular, but I'm just showing you some things. It was government that forced people to be vaccinated or lose their job. You have to, or you can't work there. And then they found out it didn't work. Oops, what you need is a booster. Oops, you need a booster for the booster. Oops, you need a booster for the booster for the booster. Oops, we didn't know that was going to cause other diseases to start popping out in your body and bring things that was set asleep and make it come out and give you autoimmune disease. And we... Sorry. And the people that lost their jobs, lost their jobs. We lost a lot of good nurses and doctors through that. Just saying, you know, it matters who you choose. It was government that shut down the churches, deeming them unessential, while leaving abortion clinics and liquor stores open. That don't matter who you vote for. When the wicked are in authority, the people mourn. Here we go. It's the government chooses where your tax money goes. They take money away from you and send it other places. They take money for you, from you, and they apply it to things that you're 100% against. Ungodly stuff. They take money away from you, and they want to give sex changes to prisoners. And you pay for it. I'm just saying that's government, okay? It's government that chooses what curriculum is taught in your child's school. Come on, you don't know it or not. I don't know if you've been around kids in a while, but it ain't reading, writing, and arithmetic no more. It's crazy. I mean, it's just so insane, and they think it's better. I can do a problem just like that compared to somebody in a box, in a box, in a box, in a box, you know. Right? 2 + 2 = 4. Not 2 in this box, 2 in this box. Can you imagine going into the grocery store and they say, well, that'll be so much, and you have to get your piece of paper out and get you some boxes out and figure out. I'm just saying, it's government that chooses these stupid curriculums that have come out. And the teachers know it, but they have no choice. See, they have to teach it. Because you ask any teacher, okay, they'll tell you that they are not questioned or they are not examined or they are not reviewed on what they teach other than what's going to be on the end of the year test. The kids have to be able to answer the questions that they're going to be tested on. They could care less whether you know the capital of a state. You have to know what the answers are to that test they're going to send around and grade the kids and grade the teacher from that. Test scores. You know why test scores? You get good test scores, you get good money. Okay? It's your government that wants to give your child sex change assistance without your permission. They can go to school. They want the kid to be able to go to school, go to somebody there, and if whatever they want, you know, I just don't feel like I'm a boy, and they want to be able to take that kid in a direction of a girl without you even knowing it. You're the parent. I just want to show you that there's some things that the government does. So now, I'm going to say this and probably make some folks mad, and I pray that I don't, but it's the truth, and you have to look at it like this. Who you vote for aligns you with that government's policies. Now, I'm going to tell off on me, okay? Because, you know, I'm not trying to be political. I'm trying to show you biblical truths, okay? My daddy was part of a political party. And I thought because that was the political party that he was part of, that's the political party I would be part of. When I got married, I made my wife be part of that political party. Kind of against her will, because her family was the other way. And she didn't like it, but she was a wife that submitted herself to her husband, and so we did. Okay. And at that time, things were, you know, it was kind of even up to a certain extent. But as time went on, I started seeing that party get farther and farther away from the things that I thought was right. And then once I became a preacher and started studying the Word of God, I started realizing nothing they believe is what I believe. And nothing that they're for is what I'm for. So I found myself part of a party that I wasn't even voting for. Matter of fact, I was voting against. Because I had to once again look at God and say, God, I know what you're for, and I know what they're for, and you guys are opposite, so I got to go with God. And so there came to a point when I started thinking about this right here. I'm aligned with them. I don't vote that way. I don't go along with them, and I don't believe what they believe, but I'm aligned with them. I can't stay aligned with that because I don't want my name mentioned with that. And so I had to change because I did. One of the reasons I did, I wanted them to know or, you know, what would one person matter? I don't know. But what would happen if millions decided that ain't what I'm for? See, because I hear all the time people say, well, you know, I am one, but I don't believe what they believe. You're associated with them. You're aligned with them. You know, and here's the bad part is that you know, that people that are, a lot of times, if they're going that way, then it goes up to the higher levels then. Okay. So I'm just showing you now, I'm going to show you in the Bible a biblical basis for this, because I knew when I said that, folks would get aggravated at me, but you can't get aggravated at me because you know it's the truth. Who you align yourself with, that's the government that you're accepting their policies. Now, you know, if the people I don't want to win, their policies ain't what I want. Now, I mean, that'll still be my president and all that kind of thing, because I'm an American and I believe in the American way. But that don't mean I'm going to agree with the policies, because I refuse to go against what God says. Amen. Now, listen to this, okay? I'm going to show you a thing or two, and then I'll shut up, and you guys can go home mad at me if you want to. But I'm telling you the truth before Tuesday. A lot of us has already voted, so I don't know how many of you have, but it's the first time ever that I've voted early. I just couldn't wait. I just couldn't wait. I was excited. Listen to this now. Now here is when, on the day of Pentecost, when they all started speaking in tongues and the people started saying different things, those the bystanders, all that were around there, listen to what he says. And there was the Jews there and the Pharisees and different ones. Here's what Peter says in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, all the house of Israel now, okay, that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Glory. Notice that. You know what Peter just said? All the house of Israel needs to know that they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I want to show you. Not all of them crucified Jesus. There were some there that day that hollered, "Crucify Him." But it wasn't all the house of Israel. How come he told them all? Because they were aligned with the house of Israel. Therefore, they were included with the house of Israel. Who you align yourself with means you accept their policies. Listen. This is Peter and the apostles after they were told not to preach and teach in the name of Jesus. Okay. Then Peter and the other apostles answered. This is Acts 5:29-30. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Thank God they stood up to them, right? Then they said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." Who's he talking? He's talking to the Jewish leaders there. Most likely, they didn't have a part in that. Those particular ones. But because they were part of the Jewish leadership, they got it tagged to them by association. I'm just showing you biblical ways that to prove that who you align yourself with means you accept them. Matter of fact, they actually got mad at them, as you all know, during that thing. And they beat them and, you know, and that kind of thing. Here's Stephen before he stoned for preaching the gospel and telling the truth to them. He says, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it." Look at that. Stephen told them, He's out preaching. Stephen, remember Stephen was one of the deacons that was chosen that went on to preach. And he's the one that was preaching to them, telling them the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they got so mad at him, they ran up on him and started biting on him. And he just kept on preaching. Then he fell to the ground and looked up and he said, "I see the heavens open up." Remember? And they stoned him to death. These that he's preaching to probably never had anything to do that day with that crucifixion. But because they were part of the same camp, they were associated with them. See, I want to show you this. Folks, it does matter who you hang out with. It does matter who you choose, because when you choose somebody, you line yourself up with them. Amen. So we have to be careful. Now I'm going to close up with this here just in a second. When you and I accepted Jesus our Savior, we made this commitment to Him. It was to love Him with all of our mind, body, and soul. Because that's what's required of us, right? To love Him with all of our mind, body, and soul. Now in John 15, here's what Jesus says. If you love Me, keep My commandments. If you love Me, keep My commandments. What is keeping God's commandments? Keeping God's commandments is standing for what God stands for. See, a lot of folks want it written down. You know, they want it written down. But if the Bible says that when people change the natural use of their bodies to do that which is unseemly, that it's an abomination to God, they don't get that. It has to say, do not be a homosexual before it's... No, you got to get the gist of the thing. You know, you ought to get a clue there. And so we keep His commandments. We do what God would do. We keep the commandments is doing what God would have us to do, what His Word tells us to do. We are, if we're on God's side, then we're on the side of the Word. And so, your choices can determine the environment in which you live in. It can determine it. We've seen that. What choices make, what it does. And so I've brought you some things biblical. Now, you as a child of God need to be biblical. That's all I'm going to tell you. You see, I'm not allowed to endorse a candidate because government made this little law that says if you're a tax-exempt church establishment, that you're not allowed to endorse a candidate. But there ain't nothing says I can't give you biblical facts that tells you what God says and what God would do. Now, who you vote for is your choice. But I'm going to tell you, you need to examine both sides and look at the policies of both sides. Neither one ain't perfect. I'm going to tell you that right now. As far as the candidates go, but that's not really what you're voting about. You're voting for what they stand for because you're aligning yourself with them. And I hear people say, "Well, I don't like neither one. They ain't neither one of them no count." Well, here's what you do. See, if you don't vote, then what you do is you surrender to the other side. Your choice is this: I'm going to look at their policies and see whose policy most lines up with the Word of God and who most goes against the Word of God. And I'm going to vote for the one that most lines up with the Word of God, whether they're perfect or not, whether I agree with everything they agree with or not. That's what you have to do. Because, again, we live in an imperfect world with imperfect people and ain't none of them got it nailed down. The only perfect one is Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to align myself with Him. And that way I can lay my head down on my pillow at that night and say, Lord, I did the best I could to be on your side. And if you do that, then you're good. You can just thank God for it and just go on, and then we'll, whatever happens will happen, and we'll, either way, God's going to take care of us. Come on, right? All right. Now, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to choose. And we're going to make the right choice. And we're going to give God glory with it. Amen? Stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father,